You're listening to the Ask Drone You podcast. You ask, we answer your drone questions. Whether you're here to turn your passion into profit or you simply fly for fun, we're a community of learners and teachers who aspire to achieve greatness. We are
Drone You.
Hey everyone, and welcome to another fantastic episode of Ask Drone You. My name is Paul, and I have the pleasure of having Mr. John and Josh, the J&J team from Kitty Hawk, to join us today to talk about Kitty Hawk's news. It's actually multiple developments, from a new dynamic airspace all the way to taking over the FAA's Before You Fly app. So J&J, welcome to the show, my friends.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us, Paul.
Big fans.
Well, we're big fans of what you are doing, especially with airspace, because you're kind of changing the way that everyone interacts with airspace. You're making it a lot easier to get all the information that you need to make a safety-based decision to fly. In addition, you're giving people a convenient way to access the LANCE or LANC system, however you want to pronounce it. So tell us, what is different? What is new about dynamic airspace and the Kitty Hawk platform?
Yeah, so we got this process started last fall when we were going through the FAA's approval process for LANCE to be a USS to provide authorizations. And in that process, we had to start building our own airspace product. And in doing that, we said, let's take this to fruition. We have a lot of data points. People are putting various data points into Kitty Hawk with their flights, with their aircraft. Let's put these pieces together to give people their airspace. And I think that's the fundamental thing that has changed.
So I'm glad that you brought that up, because I want to clarify, as a lot of people in some of the online forums have been saying, hey, look, you know, Kitty Hawk in their own dynamic airspace, is this really Kitty Hawk's airspace, or is this Kitty Hawk in conjunction with another company's airspace? And I don't mean a client or a customer. I mean, like, is there another partner in the works that we should know about? Because I think the rumors are swirling, and I just want to correct everyone out there.
This is 100% Kitty Hawk airspace. As we said in our blog post, this is patent pending tech that we developed with some Kitty Hawk love to make it our own.
It's sourced directly from the FAA and sent straight to you with a lot of love.
I love that. I'm glad there's no middleman, because that would be rather unfortunate. But Kitty Hawk dynamic airspace also allows customers to personalize their experience on the app. What can they add in there to help make that that workflow for them as a commercial pilot, or even, you know, as a hobbyist, easier?
You know, it's interesting. We've heard from some of our enterprise customers that they want the ability to see the layers that they need. Just because FAA Part 107 mandates that you need to deal with controlled airspace, or know that you're in the Bravo, the Charlie, or the Delta, or the Echo, like, those things are important, but those are the base layers of compliance. For example, if there's uncontrolled airports near you or non-towered airports, you probably want to know about that if you're looking to see and avoid other traffic. So being able to see all of that information in the way that you want was really important. So we thought it was really, really critical that we made a platform that was able to be customizable, but also able to accommodate people who don't have the expertise to go and turn it on and off layers.
Yeah, no, I think that's really cool, because you can even add layers for your own LANC approvals and authorizations, right? You can see that all over. But what I really love is the color-coded airspace, right? You really show, okay, green, you're good to go up to 400, you know, yellow and red. I love that. But one of the limitations that I found on other platforms, you know, kind of like Skyward and their desktop services, if you are looking at an airport that is not LANC or LANCE authorized, you're kind of sitting there like wondering, what am I doing wrong, you know? There's no visualization to say, like, this airport is very geriatric and they are not allowing a clear-cut process to gain airspace access. So I really love that. But to clarify, you can add your own airspace authorizations within your own map, right?
That happens automatically. So if you are in Kitty Hawk, create an authorization, right when you close that view, you will see that polygon on your map, and you can see if it's authorized, you can see if it's pending further coordination, you can see the details of when it's upcoming. And ultimately, this is going to make for people to have, there you go, you got a,
there it is,
right there.
Yeah.
And as part of that, we also, like you said, it was annoying to have to dig into the details, because all these airports have facility maps. It doesn't mean they're active. It doesn't mean all the grids are active. So in our design, those are gray. So immediately can get a clear sense of, all right, this airport is geriatric, as you said. And
I just want to have, I'm curious. Is there any geriatric gray bulk G? Is that what we're going for here? Like
coincidence.
Yeah. It's gray for gray hair, but ultimately it goes beyond Lance. If you have a COA, for example, fire us off your COAs. We'll populate them in your account so that all of that information is available to your whole team in real time, no matter what platform you're on. So whether it's the desktop or any of the mobile applications, you have the information you need when you need it, where you need it.
It's frankly really powerful because for a lot of public safety officers who have many COAs in different areas, like for example, we worked with the Rancho Cucamonga Fire Department and they have multiple COAs because of Ontario's airspace and a couple other airspaces. So I know for them, that would be really, really powerful. But if I understand it, guys, dynamic airspace is just the building block. It's just the foundation for everything else that you have coming down the line. So congratulations on Before You Fly. For those listeners out there who don't remember, Before You Fly was an application that was once run by the FAA, and frankly, it fell short in many areas. And it's also kind of the first touch point for many new pilots to get familiar with the FAA. And with you guys, Kitty Hawk, taking over this, this really is going to kind of put a fresh positive taste in the mouths of new pilots and new hobbyists alike. So tell us about Before You Fly. What's the plan? What is Kitty Hawk going to do with their platform?
We're super excited about Before You Fly. So ultimately, one of the things that we believe in here at Kitty Hawk is that we have to build the industry alongside of our company. And every time somebody doesn't know or flies in airspace they shouldn't or breaches a TFR, that's ultimately holding back the progress that we could be making on the commercial drone industry, recreational or not. So we thought it was important that we took this technology that we've been building for our enterprise operators and we're repurposing it for the Before You Fly folks. And we're putting a lot of thought into this because, as you said, this is the first time people are seeing, whoa, I have to pay attention to this. I have to think about this. And we're putting a lot of thought into how can we make it approachable? Can we use emojis? Do you have to speak English to use this app? Maybe not, right? What if it's just a really big happy face? We're working on all of the different ways to make sure that the complexity of airspace is distilled down into a clean and easy to use format.
You know, that's really intelligent because when I was in Hawaii recently, there was a Japanese couple who was flying a Mavic, just a Mavic Pro, I think on Wi-Fi, like not even through a remote, on a crowded Waikiki beach. And I literally went up to her and I pulled out my FAA card trying to act all official. And I was like, you can't fly here. You can't fly here. And it just makes you think, like, someone who visits our country but doesn't speak English, how do you have, again, that touch point to educate them? And that's frankly really, really brilliant. So really excited to see what you do. Is there anything new as far as, you know, some of the features maybe that you can kind of hint at?
I think we're trying to keep it simple and get something out there as quickly as we can and see what kind of feedback we get. I think the biggest change that you'll see, just like we do with our main platform, start simple, get feedback, iterate. And I think really what we've tried to do with the FAA is start from first principles. What's the purpose of this app? What should it accomplish? Let's start there and not worry about recreating everything that exists. And we're ready to have your feedback. We're going to keep updating this regularly. It's not going to be ship it and forget it. This is a living thing. So we're ready to keep it moving.
And I think one of the biggest differences between us and other drone companies is the person you're talking to when you give feedback on Twitter or Facebook is very close to the product. Like, there's nobody at Kitty Hawk who can't affect the roadmap of the product. Everybody's listening. Everybody's listening for feedback and understanding how can we make a more delightful experience. And that's the same way we've built Kitty Hawk piece by piece. We're looking to use that same strategy to make Before You Fly a huge success for the FAA.
No, it's really interesting too, because I feel like what Kitty Hawk is doing is they're trying to take care of the new guy while they're trying to take care of you know, the DSPs, the drone service providers who need a quick, easy mobile application to grant link, now I don't even care about how, like, which way I say it, access instantaneous airspace approvals. And I feel like you're kind of taking the pilot as, you know, a story form. You're kind of starting off right as they buy a drone and taking them through, here's what you need to know and where you can and can't fly. And then use Kitty Hawk if you become a commercial pilot to gain airspace access. So what else does Kitty Hawk do that maybe some of your potential clients may not know about? Are there features through the Kitty Hawk platform that would be, you know, useful for, say, an enterprise user?
Interesting. So I think the one thing that a lot of people don't know that we do, we actually can fly your DJI aircraft. And we hear a lot of things like, oh, I want to import my flight logs. I want to import my flight logs. Well, that's great. We're happy to accommodate that. We have that feature. But you can fly directly from within Kitty Hawk. And the minute you take off, that flight log starts. And the minute you land, that flight log goes into Kitty Hawk. It doesn't require you to do any extra steps. There's no integrations. There's nothing more to do. It's really simple and clean and easy to keep track of all your flights by doing exactly what you do anyway.
That also ties back to dynamic airspace and what enterprises look for, because when you fly inside of Kitty Hawk, that telemetry happens live, similar to the demo that we did with InterUSS, UTM, seeing live telemetry as it happens on your team, live streaming from the drone. All of that happens in a secure environment once you start flying from within Kitty Hawk.
Ah, okay. That's very interesting. So what if I'm an enterprise user and I'm starting a new drone program, and I want to make sure that my pilots are actually flying the missions that I asked them to? Can I use Kitty Hawk as an enterprise kind of control hub?
Yeah, certainly. I mean, if you're starting an enterprise drone program, the first thing is get good training. You probably can help some people with that, I would imagine. Get awesome training. And then the second thing is make sure that you have ways for people to show their compliance, to demonstrate that they're following the standard operating procedure, to demonstrate the culture of safety that you're instilling in your organization. This is really what Kitty Hawk has set out to solve.
Kitty Hawk has really become a comprehensive solution. I mean, I first loved Kitty Hawk because it had information on the home screen that no one else really had put together. I mean, Hover was like the first application, and then you guys just kind of blew them out of the water.
No, we like Dan. Dan's a great guy. I literally got into an Uber a few months ago, and Dan gets in next to me, and I was like, get out of here. This is too much.
That is a coincidence if I've ever heard one. Holy cow. But Hover was a great solution, but I feel, in all honesty, I love Dan too, but there's just so much more information here, and there's so much more information to make better decisions as a pilot. So the fact that, you know, you added the mobile access for Link, I think is really, really cool. And I think now that you're taking over before you fly, I think it's going to have a profound impact on the industry, because instead of a new pilot saying, wow, look at this crappy application that doesn't barely work, I wonder what else doesn't work at the FAA. Now they're getting a nice touch point of saying like, wow, this is really easy, streamlined. I understand where I can and can't fly. And it kind of gives more of a positive impact on that pilot. And we don't know how far that could go. Like you said, every action that a pilot takes could really have an effect on the industry as a whole. And that's why we have to be responsible pilots. And I've said that so many times on this show. And when I heard you say that, it was just like, oh, yes, I could not agree more. It's one of those things that we're really, really excited about. As far as the dynamic airspace is concerned, you're going to be adding other layers that pilots will be able to essentially utilize. What does that look like?
That looks like a lot of automated tools. So again, we see a lot of your mission planning. We see a lot of your flight paths. We see a lot of your authorizations. All of that, those layers should populate automatically on your map. But also, what are those? And Josh kind of hinted at this before. There's regulatory things that you want to see on your map. And then there's company specific things that you want to see. Maybe you're a first responder and you want to set a no-fly zone or a boundary that you don't want your team to fly past for whatever reason. You might be in class golf and it doesn't really matter regulatory-wise, but you still want to set those limits. How can you do that programmatically across a platform from your desktop, draw a polygon, upload a map, and have your pilot see that same thing? That's the ultimate goal.
So I'll give you an anecdotal example. I was with one of our energy customers, and I'm at this huge, down in Texas, I'm at this huge chemical plant, right? Just all kinds of crazy pipes and steam. It's literally terrifying, like how much is happening around you and the pressures and chemicals and all the things happening all at once. And they have these maps of like, if there's a problem, this is where you go. And having that information available on top of the airspace with the information that you need to go fly a safe mission with drones really adds a lot of value, because now it's not just, wow, what's that tank over there? It's what's in that tank over there and how high is it? And is that tank inside of the Class Bravo or not?
Wow, it's like enterprise grade geofencing. It's really, really interesting. That's pretty cool. So on top of that, you also have reporting to enterprise clients as well, right? If I'm using Kitty Hawk as an enterprise client beyond just dynamic airspace, I can actually not only see what they're doing, when they're doing it, and their flight paths, but I'm also going to be able to gather reports on my pilot's overall flight hours. What other type of information can enterprise users garnish from their pilot's records through the Kitty Hawk platform?
It's really about a mix of records and then data. So one is, are my people compliant? How much activity are we doing? Is that tracking towards what we thought? Do we need to go get 107 renewals and go back to get training? Kind of those operational compliance components. And then the other piece is, you just captured a lot of data during all those flights. What do you want to do with that data? Do you want to route it programmatically through our API to your own servers? Do you want to send it somewhere to get processed? Do you just want us to store it? So it's really about the operational data and then the data you captured and how can you make use of it.
I think one of the most interesting things that we've come to learn after working on this project for 4 years now is that while yes, everybody wants to go do the latest and greatest of technology, enterprises are like, you know what? We're good. We're going to actually, let's take a step backwards and just chill out a little bit. We don't want our people flying as far away as visual line of sight will allow. We don't want them flying at 60 miles an hour down a hill chasing a skier. You know what we're interested in? Go take the picture, do the job, put the drone down, let's not hurt anybody, and let's continue to be boring. That's really like, that's the goal. How can we be continually boring so that nothing gets out of hand? And ultimately, Kitty Hawk's going to be able to help them do that, where we're going to be able to set common sense limitations amongst accounts. As you know, like 107 says you can't go faster than 85 knots or 100 miles an hour. I don't know too many roof inspections that require you to go 100 miles an hour. Totally legal, probably not what you want your team doing if you're trying to instill a culture of safety. So we're going to be able to help with kind of this internal compliance as well.
You know, that's really fascinating because it's almost like you're providing a dollarized savings to companies by inhibiting and limiting liability and risk on a magnitude of scale. That's really powerful.
I mean, ultimately, you don't want to end up as the headline, right? We have customers who literally write the headlines, but you don't want to end up as the headline.
Yeah, 100%. So is there anything else that I missed with the dynamic airspace, the rollout of Before You Fly? Because I want to make sure that everyone gets a chance to hear from the horse's mouth what all we have coming down the pipe, as it is a lot, but it's also really exciting for the industry as a whole.
I think one of the things I'm excited about is being able to educate this wider audience more. And I think we get a lot of questions about lands from hobbyists in our application, and they don't realize that it's not available to them yet. Like, it's not for the hobbyist. So I think there's a lot of room that we can do to educate the hobbyist versus the commercial operator, what airspace applies to you, what rules apply to you, and make sure that people have a clear sense of that so that they're not well-meaning. Like, if you're a hobbyist trying to use Lance, like, you're probably well-meaning, but you're misguided at the same time, and I think we can help.
Do you think that with the reauthorization happening late last year, and we still have yet to get the FAA's interpretation of that reauthorization, but do you think there will be a day when hobbyists will really need to navigate the airspace more closely?
100%.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, I'm a longtime hobbyist. I was the guy gluing balsa wood to myself in high school to build model airplanes. And like, all right, we're going to go fly this thing. And I would promptly turn it back into toothpicks. And I would do that over and over and over. That is a different level of capability than we have today, where you can just go drop $1,000, buy a really capable GPS-enabled aircraft that, by the way, you have to try really hard to crash. I know because I've done it. And ultimately, like, we support the idea of the next generation of aviators and aviation. It's really important to embrace this stuff. And holy cow, I wish this existed when I was young and learning how to fly model aircraft. But now these things are so capable that we need to make sure that there's common sense restrictions in place. Have the freedom to fly wherever you want, but you need to do it within the framework that everybody else is, so that we can have a great commercial drone industry alongside the next generation of aviators.
That is truly powerful. And it's kind of like that all, you know, as they say that, you know, flight always started at Kitty Hawk. And it's kind of like now flight is again starting at Kitty Hawk as new pilots utilize the Before You Fly app and get to use that Kitty Hawk platform. Gentlemen, I'm so excited for this. I really thank you for coming on the show. Really appreciate your time and excited to see what other things are coming down the line. I wouldn't be surprised for you guys to drop another bombshell next week or in two. I'm not saying that's
a bombshell next week. Promise.
No bombshells. Please, look, we're going back to work. We're going to go work on making the next big news piece.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, guys, thank you for coming on the show.
Thanks, Paul.
And that's going to do it for us today. Don't forget, if you have a question, go to AskDroneU.com and upload your question. And don't be afraid to subscribe and don't miss our upcoming new shows each Friday. That's going to do it for us today. My name is Paul, and you're watching another awesome episode of Ask Drone U.
We believe that videos, images, words, and sounds have the absolute power to inform, inspire, and entertain. We reject indecision, confusion, and vanity, for they work against the community. We are united under the virtues of safety and knowledge. We are a training community of learners and teachers who encourage and energize each other to achieve greatness. We are pilots, videographers, photographers, freelancers, business owners, enthusiasts, experts, and apprentices. We are creators. We are the Drone U.